Incoming transmission.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. This is Ed Pug with Boosting the Signal. And this week, my guest is Brian Cleary, an amazing artist that I was brought I was brought attention to through Mary from Snark Totes, a previous episode. And I had to reach out. I had to follow this man. The artwork is amazing. There's so many different things. And Brian, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on your show. My first podcast.
Really? Well, welcome to the podcasting universe, as it were. Your artwork is amazing. And the fact is, I think everybody should have you on their podcast. They should be showing off your work. Throughout this episode, I plan on posting on the screen some of my favorite pieces that you have posted on Instagram showing up, because like some of them are definitely, I've loved, like, of course, your Star Trek ships. You did one on Star Trek Day of the Enterprise that was just absolutely beautiful. And I hope that you are a Star Trek fan. It's something that I've never actually asked. Oh, very good, very good.
I can do it on the right hand. I can't do it on the left hand.
Oh, well. And
my pal, Mr. Spock, is with me today.
All right. I love it.
And yeah, of course,
I can do both.
Oh, little Dorp Spock.
Yeah, I have that one, and I have the regular Dorbs. And someone had sent me a picture of, there's a Mirror Universe Dorbs, and I've never seen it other than in pictures. And yeah. I always think, oh, I'm going to find it, but I've never gone after it. But
I need to paint that one, the mirror image Spock with the goatee.
Yeah. I like Dorbs. I was a Dorbs fan. I have, you can't see it because it's in front of me, but we have all of our Dorbs and shadow boxes on the wall. And I love the Dorbs.
Yeah, they're cute.
How did you come into the Star Trek universe? If you are a fan, like, what brought you to Star Trek?
So I grew up in the 70s. I was born in 1971, and Star Trek came out in 1966, was it?
Yeah.
So it was on reruns. So we had a station here called Channel 56, and that was like the local station. So they would show reruns. And I just grew up watching Star Trek on TV. It was on probably like 7:30 at night. I think sometimes they'd have two back-to-back episodes.
Oh, wow.
And I remember watching that early 70s, and that was before Star Trek came out. And then Star Wars came out.
Yeah.
And then when Star Wars came out, that just completely blew my mind, because that was a movie. Star Trek was a television series, which was really cool because you saw all these great aliens, and like the special effects are fun. The characters are really cool. I think everybody just loved Mr. Spock because he was so different from every other character we've ever seen. So yeah, I love Star Trek. And then that, once I saw Star Wars, I was like, just like, wow. But I love both of them. And I was just thinking it'd be cool if there was a comic book, like Star Trek meets Star Wars. Like, what if like Obi-Wan Kenobi and Mr. Spock had to like fight something, like a super Sith Gorn or whatever. That would be pretty interesting.
Anything can happen in comics. If they can have the Green Lantern show up in the Star Trek universe and vice versa, and the X-Men, then it can happen. It's just a matter of the licenses coming together and saying, yeah, let's give this a whirl. It's money. If you want to print money, there you go.
Yeah.
I'd buy it.
Yeah, me too. But I've always loved Star Wars, and I especially, I saw the first Star Trek film 1979 in the theater, and that was amazing, because just seeing it jump from the TV screen to like a movie, that was just absolutely amazing. In my little mind, I was like, wow, this is so cool. Just remembering the USS Enterprise in space, and the whole story was great. And then Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, which is like one of the greatest sequels ever. I grew up watching them. And then I loved the reboots with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto.
Oh, yeah.
And Star Trek Into Darkness was, I love the first one. Star Trek Into Darkness is probably my favorite because it was just so, it was dark and it was interesting. And I love the characters, and Benedict Cumberbatch was really great in the role he played.
I had an entire subject I was going to talk about with Star Wars, but you've intrigued me with your love of Into Darkness. I've never heard someone say that.
I'm the
Most of
only
it,
one.
yeah, well, you could be. I mean, it's the only Kelvin film that I try not to rewatch. I ended up doing a rewatch a couple of years ago with my wife, and when we got around to it, I was like, I guess we have to watch this. And she's like, is it going to be bad? And I was like, no, it's great. You tell me, and she enjoyed it. And I thought, well, I can't respect you anymore. But no, I mean, it's refreshing to hear that someone liked it and the dark aspect of it appealed to you. But on the counter side of that, was there an aspect of like the 09 or beyond that didn't strike that same chord?
I'd
Or
have to. I've only seen Star Trek Beyond once in the theater, and I coming off of, like, to me, Star Trek Into Darkness is on par with The Empire Strikes Back, and I think they're just both very great in the way, like, they just were, are like a darker story.
okay.
Star Trek Beyond, I'd have to watch again because when I saw it, I was like, this is okay. I don't really love it, but yeah, I'd have to give it another go, but the first Star Trek was really good. I've seen that a bunch of times. I'm hoping they will make another Star Trek film with the whole cast.
Well, who they can. Yes, I get you. Yeah, I do too. I think with it being, what, 9 years now,
It's been a while.
yeah. It would lend itself to a Wrath of Khan type scenario. I think it would be great to see the Monster Maroon uniforms in the Kelvin universe. What would those look like? How would they have changed? So yeah, I would support that. And I think if you were going to do that, the best way to honor Anton Yelchin is to have his Chekhov it on the Reliant. It's like, oh yeah, he took his posting on the Reliant, and it's like, it's a shame he can't be here, but we're thinking of him. Yeah, that's good. I definitely recommend Beyond. It's of the three, it's my favorite. But now on the Into Darkness, are you a physical media collector? I mean, like when it comes to those, do you have
I
physical
am.
media?
I am. I've slowed down a bit because it's kind of hard to find DVDs nowadays in stores. So I mean, if it's like a special edition, I'll buy it. And I still collect CDs because I'm an old timer, and that's how I prefer to listen to my music.
Same
But
here.
if I can't find it, I'll buy it on iTunes. I don't stream or anything. I like paying the artists for their hard work. And also, I still listen to CDs in my car. But yeah, I'm kind of slowing down a little bit on the physical media because it's tougher to find when you go into store. There's really no DVD. There's hardly a DVD section. Well, there's a little bit of a DVD section, but they don't have everything like they used to.
Yeah. No, I'm a physical media guy myself. Movies, CDs especially. I have a CD player. I have a six disc CD player in the truck. So like road trips or whatever, we pick out what we need. In fact, I was just looking into a band yesterday. It's kind of off topic, but I recently fell in love with a band called Princess Goes, and I was trying to find physical versions of their albums, and like I found two. They've only put out two, and I thought, well, that's kind of disappointing. I wanted more. And then one song that I really love is not on any of those albums. And I'm like, well, how I want to. It's like I want to jam that song, but I can't, and that's kind of disappointing. Yeah,
I
on the
even
physical
still have
form.
my original iPod that
Oh wow! See,
works.
I've never owned one of those.
Yeah, this is amazing. I've got like thousands and thousands of songs on it.
Well, if Star-Lord is ever a real person, he's going to look you up.
Yeah, he can borrow it temporarily.
When it comes to physical media, though, and you brought up The End of Darkness, I'm looking up. I may not have liked the film, but of course I bought it and or been gifted it every which way from Sunday. There is an IMAX version of End of Darkness that's really worth seeing. I don't know if you have that one. It came in the Star Trek, the, I think it's called the Compendium or whatever. It was like a box set.
Yeah.
And it has an IMAX cut of Into Darkness on it. It's beautiful. Beautiful. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, definitely. It's all black. You can't miss it. Silver Enterprise on the cover. That's all it is. I'm sure it's going to cost near nothing because, it's
Yeah.
been out for so long. But worth having in a collection. Now, of your art, some of your pieces that I've been looking at, like I go through and there's a lot of them, like I want to share them all, but I
Yeah.
tend to share like Star Trek related things. But I love like when Ozzy passed, you had some great, beautiful pictures of Ozzy, and you had, like I thought of you recently. My nephew is obsessed with John Wick. And you
Yeah.
had a Keanu picture that caught my attention, so I sent it to him. Like you gotta see this, But do you have a favorite? Has there been something that you have posted that just you've been so proud of?
So this year is the 50th anniversary of Jaws, which came out in 1975, and I can't believe it's been 50 years. So the past couple of years I've been posting Jaws portraits, like of Quint Hooper and Chief Brody, and of course the shark, Bruce the shark.
Bruce.
So this year I want to do something special, like because what I do is I like to screen capture images on from like YouTube or from the like from the TV. I'll just like pause it and I'll screen capture. So I was like, all right, what am I gonna paint? I had a different image in mind at first. I painted, I'm like, nah, it doesn't look scary enough. So I ended up painting
Oh,
this
wow.
one. So this one is originally when the shark is coming after the guy in the boat in the pond. He's like, are you guys okay over there? And so I liked it this way. I'm like, what if I flip it around? That looks more nightmarish.
Yeah,
So this came out really cool, and I think this is my favorite job I've done so far. And since we speak of the late great Ozzy, this one I did a couple of years ago, Bark of the Moon.
love it.
That Rick Baker did the makeup and the whole makeup. So I always loved this image of him, and I've posted it a couple of times. And actually, in my stories, at one point, Ozzy and Sharon, they did see it, and I was like, "Wow, I got on their radar for like a second." So that was really cool. And I'm a huge Ozzy fan. I saw him back in 1988 on the No Rest for the Wicked tour. That was like one of my first concerts. It was
Oh, wow.
maybe my third concert, and I just got this for
Sweet.
him. That's from the Essential Ozzy Osbourne CD. And I just like the way that looked. And
Your the one next to it reminds me of Randy Rhoads.
oh, this one? Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just like a spiral, because I just love the design of spirals.
It's Well, spirals are always great, especially if it's a Fibonacci, But it's good placement having Ozzy next to something that I immediately thought of as Randy. So, that's kismet, I guess. I loved Ozzy as well too. Big Ozzy fan. I didn't get to see him in concert until 02 and when Ozfest came around. And for the most part, if Ozfest was here, I was okay, that's it. That's all I'm doing for a week, great memories. I'm glad it happened.
Glad we shared the same airspace as him.
Yes, exactly. In fact, first time I saw him was the week that Robert had stopped being his bass player and
Yeah.
went to Metallica, so they needed someone to take the place, and they got Jason Newsted to play bass for him. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
it was so weird. And we're like, okay, we're going to see Ozzy, but I guess we're going to see a little bit of the Metallica.
That would have been interesting if Jason was on the next Ozzy Osbourne album, because he's like one of the best bass players, and Robert is too. But
Oh, yeah.
yeah, Ozzy and Jason were that was a great combination. That it was a nice surprise too.
Well, the fascinating thing is, if you think about it now, like Robert's been with Metallica longer than Jason ever was.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I guess he is the bass player. But for me, I grew up, listening to Jason and it was kind of like my thing. I didn't really get into Metallica before, like when Cliff was alive. It was post Cliff, but I respect everything Cliff did. I have Cliff's right up there on my shelf. But and then I met Jason. I have when he was with Vaivod, and I got his autograph then. So, one down, five to go, and I'll meet all
Yeah.
Metallica. But yeah, I could talk music all day too. So yeah, I appreciate it. I see you've got a Funko Pop collection, which I do too. This is just a small portion. The rest are everywhere else around me. But is that something that you came to naturally, or how did that happen?
So 15 years ago, around this time, there's a store called Newbury Comics in Massachusetts, and I think they're along like they're probably like in like New Hampshire and Rhode Island. So they're around here. It's a pop culture store. So they have CDs, records, Funko Pops. They have anime. Did I say comic books? All right, comic books. So they have a lot of great stuff in there. So I remember I walked in. I was buying a CD back when, people were still buying them, and then I saw these Funko Pops. Like, oh, that's really cool. So I got Batman, the Penguin, the Joker, and the Riddler, and I wish I got Two-Face, because Two-Face is worth a fortune now. But I bought four of them, and then that just started my fascination with Funko Pops, and I've been collecting them since 2010. And so this is like only a little bit of my collection. They're in like another room. They're on my art table. I've got some in the bedroom, like on my nightstand. They're so cute. Like, they're really well made. And speaking of like Ozzy, I got this one. So this is from No Rest for the Wicked tour. And it's just, his hair is all 80s, poofed out. The artwork is great, like what they do and the side. So yeah, now I keep them in the boxes, because I took a lot of them out. I just displayed them. But now when I buy them, I'll usually keep them in the boxes, unless I really want to display it, and then I'll just take it out and I'll store the box away.
Yeah, I've kind of gone a little both ways with mine. Like, I was strictly inbox for many, many, many years. And then my wife and I were having a discussion, like, it was overtaking everything. We were up to like 4,000 in our collection.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, we could display them. So I made shelves. You can see behind me, I made the shelves. And I said, well, I'll take the ones I know we're never going to get rid of. Let's take them out. Let's keep them, And so, like, to my right, I have her Stitch collection. I have her boy band collection. I have my wrestling in the office. I got Star Trek behind me. They're all over the place. But
I like how they're on like almost like rows, like how you have them set up. That's perfect how you can see them all.
it was a design that I had seen a friend of mine on the in the community. His name, and I'll give him a shout out, Bentley. It's a Jedi. He had some really nice shelves, and I said, well, what were the dimensions? And he sent me the dimensions. So I went to Lowe's, bought some wood, put them together, and it worked out really well. And you can get about 36 of them, maybe, I think it's about about 66 total per shelf, like
Yeah.
all together. So not bad. And then,
Yeah.
but if it's something that's worth money, it stays in a box, like autographed fun. Like, do you remember the Funcast? When
The fun
Sully and
Oh, yeah.
okay, so back then, like I have autographed pops from all of them when they would do their gatherings and stuff, and like those will never leave. Autographed Elvira, I'm not gonna take
Yep.
those out. Those are
Yeah.
rainy day. If I have to, sorry, they gotta go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. I'm always it's you're the first person I've actually talked to that is a pop collector, and at least that I've known of, but so it's nice. It's nice.
I've gone a little overboard with them, but I don't. I mean, I've been collecting for 15 years, but I don't get every single variant of every single figure. If it's like Star Wars or like the Joker or some like Marvel figures, I'll get them. Or even like Michael Myers, I have a couple of really cool variants of him. The Stranger Things characters I have, James Bond, I only got like two James Bond. I wish I got the whole collection, but yeah, I've kind of slowed down on a bit on the Funko Pops. Like I'll look at them in the store, so I'm like, all right, that's enough. I've looked at it. But if I really want it, I'll go get it.
We kind of made the decision. It was like Star Trek, I want to get the Star Trek ones. But for the most part, you're right. It variants. Like I can't tell you how many versions of Steve from Stranger Things I had.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't need, oh, but he's holding the bat differently this time, but if I was gonna do stop motion, sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get you. And yeah, the James Bonds, I regret not getting the James Bonds when I had. You think when you first start, you don't think about the rarity and the oh, they're gonna go away. You think,
Right.
I'll get them. They're gonna get them another time. Then you start to learn. But I and as for going overboard, I understand. I have a theory that they're coated in cocaine and
Yeah.
they get us addicted, and it was like, oh, we have to have more, but
Yeah. This is the new version of stamp collecting for people our age. Funko Pops.
exactly. And well, ironically, I know someone my age that does collect stamps. So but yeah, that's great. I love it. Now, is there anything else that you do enjoy Star Trek? You are a Trekkie. Is there a favorite Star Trek piece in your collection that you have?
I painted Khan, the Richard Montabaum version from
Okay.
Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. I painted that this past year. I don't have it nearby, but that one I'm really happy I painted. And then I've painted Spock a bunch of times. The ones I've done for Mary were a lot of fun. I did the mind meld of Spock with her sister. And that we both collaborated on that. It was a Christmas gift for her sister, because I think they give each other Star Trek related items. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, she had told me about the one you did, the pain one, and
Pain. Yeah, I called that the meatball. It looked like a big thing of pasta.
well, no, you're absolutely correct, and finding a good picture of that is kind of a pain too, so
It was difficult, but I found one. So, yeah,
well done.
painting Spock is always fun. Painting any of the aliens, I'd love. I have some reference photos of a Borg I'd like to do. Yeah, like both Star Trek and Star Wars, those are my two favorites. I'm not like I love this more than that. I love them both equally.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, I love Star Trek probably just a tidge more, but when it comes to Star Wars, I love Star Wars. I've seen every Star Wars movie in theaters.
Yep.
The first one I didn't. Now, technically, there's a caveat to that. I didn't see the A New Hope in theater when it came out. I did see Empire when it came out in theaters, but I did see A New Hope in '96 in the
Yeah.
re-release. So it works. It counts.
I saw A New Hope in 1977 when it came out, And I was blown away. And I remember the audience was like applauding at the end. I don't think people do that anymore, but it really left like a real impact on my life. Like a lot of other people at that time who we just fell in love with science fiction and the whole world of Star Wars and the Jedi and all the characters, the droids, the
Oh, yeah.
monsters, the Empire, all that stuff. So yeah, I've seen all of them in the theater, and that's the way to see them, really, like on the big screen.
I have a weird collection when it comes to Star Wars, and I'll get things, but my main collection is Han Solo and Carbonite.
Yeah, I have that one.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I buy everything.
Oh yeah.
It's like I gotta have Han Solo and Carbonite. But that comes down to not getting a figure when I was a kid. My mom had bought Slave One for me. And when we got home and opened it up, it
No
wasn't in
figure.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I love Star Wars. Empire, probably my favorite. Although I say this, and most people don't say this, and this is in the same vein of you liking Into Darkness.
Yeah.
I love The Last Jedi. I think The Last Jedi was the best of the sequels, whatever you want to call
Yeah.
them.
It was.
So, Ryan Johnson,
The Force
well,
Awakens was cool, but yeah, The Last Jedi was amazing.
Force Awakens was pretty much a retelling of A New Hope. I mean, it was
Yeah.
just a reinterpretation of A New Hope, and I get it. You know, I get it. You want to give something to people that are it's comfortable and what they understand, but they missed opportunity. You know, it's like Picard season three. They gave us what we wanted in Picard season three, and JJ missed the opportunity to give us what we wanted, you know, all of the core group back together.
Yeah. I hope the director of The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson,
Yeah, Ryan.
Ryan, sorry.
Yeah.
I hope he comes back and does. He was supposed to do a new trilogy, then I guess he walked away from it, but I hope he does come back and does something with them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what's the one called? It's got Ryan Gosling in it. Is it Starfighter or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
Yeah,
that should be cool.
I'm all for anything that doesn't have to, and you don't have to have Jedi and
Right.
Sith. You can there. It's a big universe or galaxy, whatever. And that's what I really loved about Mandalorian, and I loved. On the same spectrum, though, I loved The Acolyte as well.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people didn't care for Acolyte, but I thought Acolyte was great.
I did too.
I'm glad. And I'm glad to see the figures are coming out finally. It's a little late, but they're finally getting, like, the Stranger is getting a figure. So that's one I want to get. I don't know if it's visible on camera, but I got a lot of Black Series figures up there, and
Okay.
so which mostly are Mandalorians.
Yeah.
But that went a different direction than I thought it would. I haven't had a good Star Wars conversation. So, all right, we'll go Star Wars
Yep,
for a
there we
second.
go. The Jedi and the Starbird.
I like
So,
it.
huge fan.
That's great. Do you
Yeah.
have any Star Trek tattoos or?
I don't.
See,
I have
I don't
this.
either.
This is my permanent one.
Yeah. It's always there. It's always there. Yeah,
Yeah.
I have. I don't. The only TV show I have tattooed or anything, it was a show back in 2000 called The Invisible Man. I don't know if you'd ever heard of it. Had Vincent Ventresca and Paul Vind Victor. But anyways, I wear the logo from that show. Big
Okay.
fan. So, but and then I got Bad Motorfinger from Soundgarden.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've got Chris Cornell's. It's not his actual signature, but it's his signature.
Yeah, I'm a Cornell guy. I my biggest regret was I've never seen Soundgarden live.
I saw them once. I saw them in 1990 with Corrosion of Conformity and Glenn
Oh, I love
Danzig.
COC.
Yeah, and it was in a club in Boston, the Avalon, and then I remember Soundgarden. They opened up for Danzig, and they just blew me away. I thought, wow, they're like Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath.
See, I'm trying to think who was with COC in 90. Was it Peter Agle?
I don't remember.
Yeah. It was
I'm
a,
not
and they've changed
that
since then.
familiar. Yeah, I'm not that familiar with them. Like, I didn't really keep up with them, but yeah, the whole show was great, and I never saw Soundgarden again. I meant to see them on the Super Unknown tour,
Yeah.
and I didn't get to. I thought, oh, I'll see them next tour. And then down on the upside, didn't get to see them. They played far further out in Massachusetts. I'm like, I'll see them next time. Then they broke up.
Yeah.
And I did see Chris Cornell solo on his first so, on his second solo tour after he left Audioslave, and that was great because he played everything: Temple of the Dog, Audioslave, Soundgarden,
That'd be great.
solo. Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah, I never got to see Cornell live. Cornell or Pearl Jam. Those are two bands I've, somehow escaped me through my years. COC though, Corrosion, the first time I'd heard of them, I was at a Guns N' Roses concert in Orlando at the Citrus Bowl. And Axl was wearing a COC shirt. And I was like, well, I gotta check that band out. And it was like, and we always had the standard rules. I think it came from the movie Airheads. Don't wear the shirt of the band you're going to see, So an Axl would always wear different bands. I was like, all right, well, it's a good way to get them out there.
I break that rule every time. If I go to see a band, I'll wear their t-shirt. I've been doing that since I was a kid.
I think I do it too, but I think it's like, it's still fun to say. It's still fun to say or give people shit for it. But yeah, I love it. I love it. But no, that would have been a great concert. Man, that would have been
Oh,
a
yeah.
great concert. Man, I do love it. Like one thing I love about like bands like Pearl Jam, especially like putting out, at least back in the day, you talk about physical and not streaming, is the like you would get a ticket to the concert. Even Metallica did it for a while. You could download the concert and then burn your own copy of it on CD, and I love that. I mean,
Yeah.
I had a stack of concerts that I'd been to, that it's like, oh, you got to hear this, because sometimes, man, sometimes the live is better than the studio. I don't
That's
know if you
true.
have you ever seen Rob Zombie live.
Yes, I've seen him. I saw him once.
So let me ask you this question. I like to ask everybody I talk about with music. What do you think about Rob Zombie live? Do you prefer him live or do you prefer him studio?
I'd have to prefer the studio because live, you can't hear anything because it was so loud. He played with Alice Cooper, and yeah, it was really hard to like hear everything, like especially the bass. The guitars are super loud, and yeah, I prefer studio work, which is great.
Well, just a thought I like to put out there. I'm the same way. I've seen Rob Zombie live. I've seen White Zombie live. I've seen both versions, and I don't prefer them live. I just it's like okay, back in this, like all right, well, go restroom break time, restroom break
Yeah.
time, whatever. So, well, I love that. I love that, and I'm really glad that I think I'm gonna have I'm probably gonna have to follow you on my personal account. Outside of My Figure Universe, you'll see it come up because I want to be able to share your stuff. I want to be able to share more, like because like I want to share the Star Trek, but I try to like okay, how do I share this and work it in? It's
Yeah.
like how do I make this Star Trek? Like here's Ozzy, he might have liked Star Trek. We don't know,
Oh, yeah. He
but
probably watched it because it was a 60 show.
yeah, I'd like to imagine that he did. I
Yeah.
would. You have anything you would like to promote? I mean, like I know, like how are people gonna find you? Obviously Instagram, but do you have a shop where people can get custom or because you've talked about Mary doing an order for a painting. Is this something you do, take commissions?
I do take commissions. I would love to have a shop, but that's kind of expensive. And no, I do take commissions. You could contact me through my email, which is artofbrianclary@gmail.com, or through Instagram. And that's the best way to reach me. I have a website which shows a lot of my work. And Instagram, I'm always posting. It's been kind of slow for me recently because I had pneumonia. So I was on an unscheduled vacation, but I'm just getting back to painting again. But yeah, I love doing commissions. I do a lot of pet portraits of people, especially in memoriam
Oh.
portraits. I help charities out. I work with Cabaret versus Cancer. They're in London,
Oh.
so 4 times a year they have like a David Bowie auction. They have a sci-fi May the Fourth Be With You auction, which also includes Star Trek. That's in
Cool.
like May, like around May the 4th. They do a David Lynch auction in the summer, probably around like August, and they just had a This Is Halloween auction like for the past month.
That's
So
great.
they contacted me a couple years ago, maybe like 7 years ago, and Mary said, "Brian, we really love your work. Would you be interested? Would you be willing to donate one of your pieces?" And I looked them up to make sure they were legit, and they were. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'd love to." And it sold. And I also I've worked with there's a local a tennis club in Boston for inner city youths, and so it helps teach people tennis. And it's a really great club. If I could play tennis, I'd play there. So I've donated paintings to them for the past couple of years. So what I've done is I started doing abstract tennis rackets of tennis balls. And in the past 2 years, I'll offer pet portraits because people really do love seeing portraits of their pets. So I offered up about 5 or 6 portraits this year. And then I was contacted by a woman, a lovely woman in California for a firefighter auction. This was at the time with the horrible fires that happened
Yeah.
several months ago. So she saw a portrait I did of a firefighter and asked if I could do a print. And I don't know how to do prints. And also, I would love to do prints, but you have to invest money into it. So anyway,
Yeah.
you know what? How about I'll just paint you a new portrait and I'll do three of them. So I painted her a firefighter in the helmet and like the gear, and there was like fire behind the firefighter, a Dalmatian dog, and a fire truck. And I shipped them off to her. They were live at the auction, and I guess there was a bidding war over the firefighter, which was really cool. So next year I'll have to do a couple more of them so more people can get them.
That's great. Yeah, I have no idea what it would take to make a print, but I can imagine scanning and a high ratio and
You have to have a photo. You have to have a really great photograph, and I don't know. I mean, I do see people on Instagram where they have go to art shows and art fairs, and they have tables with all their artwork. I just don't have that type of money to invest in stuff that prints that probably wouldn't sell. So I don't really want to sit on those for like the longest time.
Well, I think in a situation like that, you'd almost want to have like a print store, something where the items, like, well, I've seen it before. I'm not sure. I don't want to give you an advice like and say, oh, you should do this. I'm not that kind of guy, but like I've seen like where people will have like, oh, you know, like think about like, oh, I want to get this t-shirt made. We have our logo. You can order it from there, and then they, you know, somehow they're getting a little piece of the pie, I'm sure, but yeah, I mean, I understand what you mean. The prints are nice. The prints would be nice, definitely, because I can think of seven of yours that I would, you know, definitely hang up, you know. But
I do
yeah.
wire the back of the painting so those hang up just as easy.
Well, that's nice. That's good. Have you ever run into any issues with legality painting something or someone where someone has said, you know, no.
I went on a site. I think it wasn't Etsy, but it was like one of those sites where you could sell handmade stuff. So I had Star Wars, I had David Bowie, I had a few other things, and they were up for a while. Like you could have a print made, or you could have like a t-shirt made.
Okay.
I offered like a couple of different items. So it's funny, the David Bowie one got taken down, and I was like, well, that's weird. I'm surprised the Star Wars stuff didn't get taken down right away. And then eventually the Star Wars stuff, like your copyright infringement, we took it down. So then I just closed the shop up. But I think with one-offs of like paintings, like I'm just making one version of it, I
Yeah.
don't think there's an issue with that. If I was like making like 200, unless I'm working for like Lucasfilm or like another company, I think that would be acceptable because you have their permission. But when I'm painting a portrait of, like, let's say, Spock or Luke Skywalker or Michael Myers or Jack Skellington, I just do one painting and that's it. I don't repaint it again.
Okay.
And so yeah, I haven't encountered anything like that, which is
Well, that's
good.
good. That's
Knock
good.
on wood.
Well, yeah, I understand, and you, the one thing that you run the risk of anymore is people stealing your imagery, and especially when you post, it's kind of a dual-edged sword. You want to get your artwork out there, you want to show it off, you want to post it, but then you have algorithms and AI bullshit that
Yeah.
is stealing the art and using it, and that's terrible. I A couple of days ago, oh, I don't know who, I have no idea who it was, but I was on the internet and I seen a picture and I thought it was yours. And like I was all ready to
Probably
like,
is.
I don't think it was. I really don't think, I mean, but damn if it did not look like your style. And I was like, okay, do I send this to him? Do I tell these people that they're assholes? I'm not sure what I do here, so
I would love for you to send it to me and I'll see.
if I
I don't
ever
know.
come across it again, I will. I did
Yeah.
not, I didn't click like on it, so I can't go back and say, find it. But I know how it is. My phone's listening to me, so it's like, oh, you want to see all of Brian's art? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's gonna, it'll show
I
it to
guess
me eventually.
I should take that as a compliment that AI or someone is duplicating my artwork.
Yeah, I mean, it's like my wife and I had a conversation about Van Gogh a couple
Yeah.
days ago, and we were talking about artists and stuff, Rembrandt and Van Gogh, and I was telling her like he was not respected or loved when he was alive. It wasn't
Right.
until he was gone. Maybe AI is just trying to help you get that respect faster. Like, here,
Well,
I'm gonna take this.
I think AI is just gonna it's gonna mess up like a lot of things, which is unfortunate. I do see a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon. Like especially I think people who don't really understand what it takes to go in to get into painting or sculpting or whatever your creative outlet is, what really goes into that. Like it's time consuming and with AI it's like, oh, we just like type this in, type this in, type this in, then we have an image. And I've seen images of AI generated image. They look lifeless. They look horrible. I remember a couple of years ago, a lot of people on Instagram were doing portraits of themselves, like dressed up as like a knight or like a monster or like a princess or whatever, or a king. And I was kind of shocked. I'm like, wow, they could have just asked their friends who are artists, like, hey, could you whip me up a quick painting or a sketch of me as this, instead of like buying this app and just, like not doing that, like putting an artist out of work. And yeah, it just it's it I'm really not a fan, and I see more and more companies popping up using it. A lot of actors and directors are like kind of embracing it. I do love that Guillermo del Toro says he'd rather be dead than to use AI in any of his movies, and I respect him tremendously as a director, and that's how I feel. It's much cooler to have a painting or sculpture or sketch, just handmade. It's so much cooler than something generated, or and it's scraped. It scrapes the internet of images like people have created, and like I said, it looks horrible and it looks lifeless. And hopefully, it won't last. Hopefully, it'll. Didn't we learn nothing from the Terminator from 1984?
I'm starting to think people did not. No. And everybody's
Make
like, oh, we
them
want that
re-release it.
pretty arm.
Yeah, re-release the movie and show people they're going to become endoskeletons and
Exactly.
rise up.
It's like, hey, remember when all the kids were burned alive?
Yeah.
What? That was AI. No, yeah, I feel like I don't use AI for anything. I will do Photoshop. I'll Photoshop the hell out of something and use elements and stuff like that. But that's something I've been
That's
doing for 15
totally fine.
years.
Photoshop's been around for like 30 years, I think.
Yeah. I mean, and like you talk about creating something fast. There's nothing fast with anything I do. Like I like m my posts are always like very thought out. Like I'm already working on things for March of next year because I know it's going to take me this long to get them done. And people will say like, I've had a couple people like the Toy Boys podcast is a podcast I really respect. And one time they asked me, they're like, are you AI or something? And I'm like, no, I just plan way ahead. And sometimes if you can see how things are going to go, if you see the patterns in something, you know, okay, I can get this ready way in advance. And that's what I do. So like I said, I'm working on shit for March. My wife looks at me sometimes, she's like, when are you gonna post that? And I said, March 16th. It's like, and that way I'm ready for it. That case in point, your episode here not probably won't go up until December 8th. Maybe, just because I'm that planned ahead, it's and painting is the same way. Each stroke of your brush has to be thought ahead. And AI is not thinking, it's just producing. And
There's a cartoon on Instagram. It would take a very stupid robot to replace me. I like that one, so I think of that against AI.
that's good. I like that. That's really good. Well, I have to tell you, Brian, I appreciate your time. I'd like to wrap it up. I hope everybody does go out and give you a follow. Please, everyone, the information is down below. All the links that you need are down below. You can see his at, give him a follow, boost his signal, check out his art, share his art, love his art,
Buy my
because
art.
buy his art. Because you gotta support the artists, and I'm all about supporting the artists. Yeah,
I'm
just
sorry
do
we didn't get to your favorite pieces that I've done.
oh well do you, we can we can we can I mean I yeah I'd love to I'd love my favorite pieces that you have done. Oh man, let's see. I really go back to the Enterprise that you did for Star Trek Day this past year. Was that a new one or had you used that previously?
I did that a couple of years ago, and I
Okay.
just wanted to reuse it for Star Trek Day.
Because when I would go through and I'd see it and I'd think, wait a minute, didn't I like this one? And I was like, okay. But and I didn't get to see the one that Mary had done for her sister. She talked about it. And I didn't get to see the one of the Horta, the poon,
I'll send those to you.
Yeah, I would love to see. I'd love to see how they look. It was, but no, I appreciate your time, sir. I really do. And I can't wait for everybody to hear your story and to watch this. Like I said, please, everybody, give him a follow and buy that art. Buy that art. So,
Support artists, don't support AI.
exactly. But yeah. So I appreciate it. Live long and prosper, good sir.
Live
Whatever
long and
hand you can do it
prosper.
on, there you go. We'll count that one. All right.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.